Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would. And if you have a Bible with you, if you'd open up to our text for this morning, Mark chapter 16 is where we're going to begin. Mark's gospel. First of all, we need to dismiss grades 1 through 6. I remembered just in time. We need to dismiss grades 1 through 6. Mary Ann DeLucia and those helping her are going to go out through the fellowship hall. And so grades 1 through 6 can be dismissed at this time. And the rest of us are opening our Bibles to Mark's gospel chapter 16. Hallelujah. Mark's gospel chapter 16 is where we want to begin. Now, as I was praying, just to see what the Lord had me share with you today, I know that some of you are not aware. We've been talking about a particular subject for a few weeks now, but we're going to just go away from that a little bit. We're going to deal with some other things this morning, knowing that we had communion today and what have you. You'll notice, I'm sure you did when you came in, we don't have any notes this morning. Well, I want to encourage you to take some notes. There's a place on your bulletin that you can write some notes on, and I just want to minister to you along the line of divine healing. In taking of communion, partaking of communion together, we know that in the shed blood of Jesus, our sins have been washed away. We also know that His body was broken, and His body being broken is really indicative of the fact that His body was broken so our bodies could be whole. At least that is part of that meaning, because there is that twofold redemption. The twofold work of Jesus Christ on the cross is that He bore our sin and He bore our sickness and disease. And I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to minister to you pertaining to this, to build up your faith for this, and then we're going to pray. For those that might want prayer today, that might want to be anointed with oil today. We'll talk about that before it's all said and done. But we want to build your faith pertaining to healing. We believe that God still heals today. Amen. And so in Mark chapter 16, now, most translations will have this passage beginning with verse 15. Some of yours might not have it. If it doesn't have it, it might have it as a footnote in the bottom. And the reason why, there are some Bibles that eliminate Mark chapter 16 verses, I think it's through from verse 9 on to the end of chapter 16, is because they say that there are manuscripts, some of the older manuscripts that do not have verses 9 through, I think, what is it, verse 20 in them. But I have studied that out, and I submit to you this, that out of 4,000 or so manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark that is still available today, out of 4,000 or so of those manuscripts, only two do not have verses 9 through 20. How many of you would agree with me it makes more sense to go with the 3,000 whatever, whatever, as opposed to the two that did not have it? Amen? And not only that, it must be the early apostles. If we go into chapter, or the book of Acts rather, and we go in and we study the book of Acts, the things we're about to read here, verses 15 through 20, in Mark chapter 16, it must be those early disciples must have believed that this was what they're supposed to do, because they ended up doing it, as is reflected in the book of Acts. Isn't that right? Amen? And so let's read this in Acts, in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. Jesus is speaking. This is a record of His great commission, as it's commonly referred to His disciples, His apostles, before ascending to the right hand of the Father. He says this in verse 15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing or anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. Now, I've entitled this message today as this: You Can Receive Divine Healing. And we want to, again, build up your faith on some things. And one of the things that we want to begin by talking about is, why is it a controversial subject concerning this theology, this doctrine of divine healing? Why is it that much of Christianity, many denominations, many believers, do not embrace this idea, this theology, that God is still the healer today, or that Jesus is still the healer today? Well, I have some things I'm going to share with you. I've got some PowerPoint, but this isn't on the PowerPoint yet. But let me just share a few things with you. This is taken, I've adapted this from some other notes from a fellow by the name of Pastor Frank DiMaggio. But these are this. First of all, there is an academic mindset that tends to resist and discredit the supernatural. Now, when it says an academic mindset, that means theologians. That means those that are educated. There tends to be an idea and a mindset out there that the supernatural is no longer something think the church needs. I don't know about you. I beg to differ with that. I think the church still needs the supernatural power of God working in it. Don't you? I mean, we're not doing that well when you look at it overall. The churches that do the best throughout the world are those that do believe in the power of God. And there's even those that are part of denominations that don't believe in the power of God for today. That as they go into the mission field, they recognize they need the power of God. And they go against their denomination and pray for people and minister to people and cast out demons anyway. Because they recognize how much they need God's power. Amen? Amen. And this very notion that God still doesn't have the will or the desire to minister His power in order for people to be delivered in our day and age, that is, in my estimation, really a cruel depiction of God and not in any way a symbol or illustrative of the way God's heart of compassion is. He still is a God of mercy like He ever was. And so this academic mindset is there amongst many, and of course some of them are called cessationists, which say the power of God has ceased, except for one area, and that is most of them hopefully still believe that you can receive the power of God to be saved or born again, right? Hopefully they still embrace that. Another reason why, and many of you can probably relate to this, there have been those who practiced praying for people on television, whatever, different crusades and whatever, that practiced praying for people for healing and whatever, that maybe didn't come across very well, maybe were extremists in some ways, and therefore caused a set mind with other people that it's a negative thing. In other words, people have not represented the healing power of God very well in some realms of Christianity. There's been extremes, hasn't there? Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's been people that have done things that were labeled. You could label them as charlatans. You could label them as those that were almost on the edge of being entertaining and whatever. And because of that, they discredited the whole thing pertaining to God desiring people to be well and the legitimacy of praying for people, laying hands on people, or anointing oil and praying the prayer of faith for people because of extremes, because of a way of looking at it, people seeing things that look like extremes and error and whatever, it has been thrown out by some. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Yeah. All right? And of course, you know, well, that's my last point. But remember, the enemy wants to discredit anything legitimate of God. Isn't that right? And so we need to keep that in mind as well. Some who preach and practice healing have acted questionably and caused others not to want to be identified with them. And so because of that, people don't want to be identified, and so they don't practice it. Another thing, because of the failure to see people healed, there's a lack of expectation. How many of you know what we're talking about there? Amen? And how many of you know you need to guard against that? That our doctrine pertaining to healing is not based on whether we've seen people healed or not healed. Our doctrine pertaining to healing needs to be based on what does the Bible teach. It always is preceded by the Word of God. Whatever our theology, whatever our belief system, we've got to have it, first of all, substantiated with the Bible. And then, by faith in the Word of God, we should expect to experience those things the Word of God declares to be a promise to us. Isn't that right? And so you need to not allow your mind to go there and have this idea, I've never seen people healed, or so-and-so was believing God for healing, but they died or never got well, or whatever the case may be. How many of you know, do not allow the experiences or lack of experience to rob you of faith in God, because that would be falling into the hands of our adversary in and of itself and cause us to throw it in and then become like those of the academic mindset that wants to say, well, it must be those things have passed away and God doesn't want to heal anymore. We don't want to fall into that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, we need to contend for this, contend for the supernatural, contend for healing. I don't understand all the reasons why not everyone receives, but I do know the answer is not to pull back. The answer is not to digress. The answer is to press in and continue and build our faith and believe God more and more all the time. Amen? Amen. I know that is what we need to do and not to go back. Another reason is because, and this is something that I said in a way, the supernatural is a gateway to the harvest of people into the kingdom of God. If you read the book of Acts, after there were miracles, after there were healings, after people were set free from demons, whatever the case was, many times it says, and the Lord added to the church, or a multitude turned to the Lord, or whatever phrase it is. The supernatural power of God was a way in which people saw something, and in seeing it, they decided, you know what? Jesus must be truly alive today. Amen? And one of the major ways we see in the book of Acts that the apostles, the disciples, showed showed that Jesus was alive. Though he had died, he is risen from the dead. One of the major ways they showed that was by way of healing the sick in the name of Jesus. Amen? And that goes along with Acts 4 and verse 38, one that I've quoted often. It's a favorite verse of mine. It says, with great power, the apostles bore witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And so they bore witness of his resurrection by demonstrating the great power of God. Are you hearing me here? And so again, you can see why we have an adversary, the devil, that wants to do everything he can in order to steal from us this idea and even a belief in the supernatural, a belief in healing. Wants to get us to give up on it and to throw in the towel and to stop even preaching or teaching on it. And therefore, we will be less effective in reaching the lost with the gospel if we believe the book of Acts and the tools they use in order to reach the gospel. Are you hearing me here? Now, granted, we know there's power in the preaching of the gospel, but again, they went everywhere, as we read in Mark chapter 16, they went everywhere preaching, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word which they preached with signs following, right? And so when we're preaching, we should be expecting the Lord to work with us and to bring confirmation with accompanying signs. Right? And so I think we need to be building our faith in that area, right? And not allow our minds to dwell on the failures of the past, but to continue to press in because we can believe God for greater things to happen in the future. Amen. All right, now, there are some, though, denominations and people that do believe in divine healing. I want you to know this is not something that Abounding Grace believes and nobody else. Let's look at some examples of this. Denominations which do believe in divine healing. This is not a complete list. I could go on and on with this. But let's look at some of these and what they say. The International Church of the Four Square Gospel says this. And all of these you can find on their websites. It says this, their tenet of faith. We believe that divine healing is the power of Jesus Christ to heal the sick in answer to the prayer of faith. He who does not change is still willing and able to heal the body. How many of you know Jesus is the same? Amen? And so he who does not change is still willing and able to heal the body as well as the soul and spirit in answer to faith. The next one, another denomination, the Assemblies of God, in their statement of faith says it this way, divine healing is an integral part of the gospel. Deliverance from sickness is provided for in the atonement and is the privilege of all believers. Everybody say all. Amen. All right, now another denomination. The Church of God in Christ says this in their tenets of faith. Jesus affirms his teachings on healing by explaining to his disciples who were to be apostles that healing the afflicted is by faith. Therefore, we believe that healing by faith in God has scriptural support and ordained authority. St. James' writings in his epistle, next frame, encourage elders to pray for the sick, lay hands upon them, and to anoint them with oil, and that prayers with faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Healing is still practiced widely and frequently in the Church of God in Christ, and testimonies of healing in our church testify to this fact. Another denomination which might surprise you, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Many of you know of the Alliance churches. They have a seminary down in Nyack, New York. They say this in their tenets of faith. Provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick and the anointing with oil are taught in the scriptures and are privileges for the church in this present age. In this present age. Now, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, they were founded by a guy by the name of A.B. Simpson. And I have a book by A.B. Simpson on healing, which is one of the classic books about divine healing. And he wrote it back in the late 1800s, as I recall. And he was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Now, one thing I would say about any denomination, some of them may have these truths in their tenets of faith, but they don't act like they believe them. If you know what I'm talking about. Thank you for that underwhelming response. But that is the truth, all right? Some of them don't act like they believe it, but it could still be in their tenets of faith. Now, finally, another one. This is a short one. The Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee, divine healing is provided for all in the atonement, which is synonymous for us, the redemptive work, or in his redemptive work, dying on the cross is what atonement, redemptive work is referring to. And so divine healing is provided for in the atonement. And so there we have several different denominations that believe that divine healing is for all believers, provided for in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so again, trying to show you this is not something that just Abounding Grace believes, but that this is something many and more than I just shared, denominations will believe and have as their tenets of faith. Around this area, because we're in New York State, there's another group that's essentially a denomination, Elam Fellowship. And Elam is out of just south of Rochester, Elam Bible College, Bible Institute. And they, too, in their tenets of faith, will declare that healing is part of the redemptive work of Christ. And again, hundreds of churches are affiliated with them. And so this is not something exclusive to us. Now, let's go on with some of the things that we want to see. All right, let's go to the next slide, number 9, and we see this. The Bible teaches us, now again, we're going by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that sick believers don't need to remain sick. Now, here's one passage for that, James 5, verse 14. James wrote this epistle to believers, didn't he? And so it says, is anyone among you sick? Speaking to the church. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to look at that passage again and we'll include verse 15 in a little while. But the Bible teaches us that sick believers don't need to remain sick. So I'm saying that to you because we need to fight it with everything we got. You have a right to fight sickness and disease and not just roll over and say, que sera, sera. Amen. Somebody said, well, if we're redeemed from it or if it's part of redemption, why do I still get attacked with sickness and disease? Well, again, and some of you heard me say, but not everyone has. So I want to say this as well. Did you know you've been redeemed from sin also? That was kind of low. But did you know the Bible says you've been set free from sin? In Romans chapter 6, read Romans 6. It'll tell it in different ways that sin shall not have dominion over you. It says having been made free from sin, we're to give our members or yield our members unto God and that kind of thing. It tells us that we've been made free from sin. And don't answer this next question, but how many of you have sinned since you've been free from sin? We all have, haven't we? But it doesn't change the fact that we are redeemed from it. And it doesn't change the fact, it really shows us that we have a right to fight the temptation to sin, don't we? Not in our own power, but fight the good fight of faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. In a similar way, we have the right to fight sickness and disease. Amen. And there's going to be more that we'll see pertaining to that to do it. Now, remember, I know it's easier in the natural mind. The natural mind wants to say, well, it'd be easier just to say, maybe it's God's will, because then there isn't any fighting the good fight of faith. I understand that. I know that some pastors have backed off from healing because they didn't have an explanation as to why somebody didn't receive or whatever the case may be. And so they backed up because they found it easier to not have to explain the whys. But I gave up. Brother Matt just turned 50. I know I'm going to feel what that feels like in just about a month. And you know what? In my older age, not old age, but older age, I have determined that I don't have to know all the answers why. I don't have to know all the answers why. All I need to do is just keep plugging away and knowing and ministering and sharing the truth that I do know and not worry about the things I don't know. And just trust that God, He knows everything. How many of you trust God that He knows everything? Amen. And not be so concerned about knowing all the answers. When I was younger, I thought I had to know the answer to every problem, every situation everybody went through. And now I tell people I've got an answer for every question you have, but that answer might be, I don't know. But you know what? We know the God who does know the answer to every question, right? Amen. And sometimes the questioning is a good thing. Other times it may be hindering us from trusting God, whatever. You're going to have to determine that. But we need to continue to press on in these things. All right. Now, let's go to the next frame because of the time. We want to make sure we have plenty of time to pray for people here. Notice now, the Bible also teaches us in on the big screen here, teaches us that healing is not just something God does, but it's part of who God is. It's His name, it's His nature, rather, to heal. Notice Exodus 15:26, and said, this is God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. This is to Israel. You have a better covenant than Israel. If you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Say it with me. He is the Lord that heals me. Now, I want you to know something. I know God is in this because you know what? Ben didn't know my message and still included the healer song, and I didn't know what songs they were singing because I didn't pay attention, and still God put it all together. Isn't that wonderful? I would like to say that we're so smart we organize the music with the message, but we're not that smart. That didn't happen, all right? But I just did believe and take that as a confirmation concerning these things. All right, I'm going to go from my notes. I'm going to leave my notes, and we're just going to follow these things that are up on the big screen. We might turn to a few scriptures here, but notice the next frame, if you will. The Bible is clear. Jesus died for both our sins and our sicknesses. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And while you're turning there, let me just give you a few scriptures here. You're turning to Isaiah 53, but notice what Exodus 23:25 says. Exodus 23:25 says it this way: "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's Exodus 23:25. You're turning to Isaiah 53. Then Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15 reads this way: "And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." That's Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. And then Psalm 103, 2 through 5, many of you are aware of this passage. And David said it by inspiration of God: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his, do not forget any of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And so those passages are worth looking up. Exodus 23:25, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15, and then Psalm 103 of verses 2 through 5. Now, hopefully you found Isaiah 53 beginning with verse 3. This is a messianic prophecy. Every theologian worth his salt will agree that this is a prophetic word pertaining to the coming of the Messiah, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 3, beginning with verse 3 of Isaiah 53. It says this: "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." All right, now we want to notice a few things about this, and look up on the big screen, see in some other translations. The Amplified reads verse 4 this way: "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses." Let me stop there. The word griefs, as is translated in New King James, King James, and several other translations, almost every other place, and it's found many other places in the Old Testament, but almost every other place in the Old Testament where the Hebrew word translated griefs, where it is found, almost every other time it's translated as sickness or disease or some form of that word. Diseases, sicknesses, all of that, except for here in Isaiah, where the writers, the translators, somehow got a little bit timid there and decided how they're going to translate it griefs instead of sickness or disease in some form, like they did everywhere else, that same Hebrew word. Thank God for some translators that were honest with the word. "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy." Next one. Next translation. Next frame. Let's look at this now. A literal translation of the Holy Bible. That is a actual translation of the Bible. "Surely he's borne our sicknesses and he carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him plagued, smitten by God, and afflicted." And the last one from Young's literal translation: "Surely he has borne our sicknesses and he carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him plagued, smitten by God, and afflicted." Now, there is no question. The word sicknesses, diseases here, not like some theologians say, well, he's talking about he took care of our spiritual sickness. Let me tell you something. You and I without Christ are not spiritually sick. You and I without Christ are spiritually dead. And there's a difference between being spiritually dead and spiritually sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Without Christ, we are spiritually dead. This is referring to, in its context, and in line with all of the meaning of the Hebrew words, it's referring to physical sickness. And even Jesus confirmed that in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew 8, 17. In the context of healing of physical diseases, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself, took our sicknesses and carried our pains. In that context of Matthew 8:17, it shows us clearly that it's referring to physical sickness, physical pain. And we need to let the Bible interpret itself first and foremost, don't you think? All right, so Matthew 8:17 confirms that as well. Now, some of the things that we see with this in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, it says again that surely he has borne our griefs. Same word, sicknesses. The word borne in the Hebrew means this. It means to lift up and bear away. This is the same word used in Leviticus 16:22, and again here in verse 10 in reference to sin, where it's lifted up and it's carried away. Our sicknesses were carried away. The word carried, as it's mentioned in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, is a word that means to carry as a porter, to bear for one another in the sense of a substitutionary work. And so he carried them as our substitute, and we are not to bear that which our substitute bore in our stead, are we? Amen. And so again, it's found in the redemptive work of the Messiah, just as we read in some of those statements of faith of those various denominations, all right? And so, it is part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next frame. The Bible teaches us, remember I mentioned to you, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is still the one that wants to heal. He is still the one interested in us here. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the healer, and he's the same as he always was. Let's go to the next frame. Notice Matthew 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Everybody say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go to the next frame. Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And then, verse 17, I quoted to you of Matthew 8, and then it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself, took our infirmities and bore our pain. And so, it is the fulfillment because, again, he healed those who were physically sick. Again, Jesus is the same. Next frame. Matthew 14, 35 and 36. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Made perfectly well. Jesus was, and he still is, the healer. All right, let's go on to the next frame. Jesus Christ, as we know, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You need to mark that in your Bible, Hebrews 13 and verse 8, and you need to get it down on the inside of you. Now, next place. The Bible teaches us that faith in Jesus is a key to healing. Faith in Jesus. Now, it is not the only key, but it is a key. And we're focusing on that here this morning. Go to the next frame. Let's give some examples of this in Matthew 9, 20 and 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. Let's go to the next frame. Acts 3 and verse 16 from the New American Standard Bible. I encourage you to go to Acts 3 and read the context of all that. It'll build you up. It'll strengthen you. It is the question here about John and Peter went and they had a man healed that was lame. And it caused a ruckus, as you well know, Peter and John. And as Peter preaches about this, he says this as they question what had happened. He says this as he's preaching about that man who got healed at the temple, at the gate of the temple. He says, and on this basis of faith in his name, he just preached Jesus. It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now, Jesus had already died. He'd already risen from the dead. He'd already ascended up at the right hand of the Father. And now Jesus is working through them, the apostles, and still ministering, going along with our text scripture in Mark chapter 16. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And one thing he said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Right? And so Jesus had faith in his name, faith which comes through him. How many of you know you have faith if you're born again? You have faith. It even says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we live by the faith of the Son of God. It is faith which comes through him. And we have that faith. And that man was made perfect in his health as a result of that. Let's go on to the next frame. Some ways people receive healing. This is not all the ways. But these are some of the ways. One of the ways that we're not going to mention here is like the centurion. You remember the centurion went to Jesus one day and said to him, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And Jesus did, and the servant was healed. Amen? And so just speak the word only is one way in which people can receive healing. But let's look at some other things here. The laying on of hands. Jesus is known to have laid hands on people numerous times. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, the last thing mentioned there. In Luke chapter 4. And verse 40. And we'll read verse 41 as well. I'm not waiting. I'm going to go. It says in verse 40 of Luke chapter 4, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, every one of them, and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Notice it says the sick came with various diseases. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, right? And so we see, and you can look up the other verses on your own, read the context, not just those verses, and see that Jesus laid hands on people and they were healed. Paul is another example. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 8, it says that there was the father of Publius. And Publius was like a magistrate of that area. And the father had fever and dysentery. And Paul laid hands on the father, and the father was healed and set free. How many of you know that that caused a great stir and people accepted Christ as a result? And then our opening passage says all believers, if you believe in the name, these signs shall follow. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Right? Amen. Now, let's go to the next part. The anointing with oil with the prayer of faith. I just want to say to you, the anointing with oil itself doesn't contain any healing power. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes oil is a help to people to receive. They feel the oil and they release their faith and they're able to receive. But it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick, right? It's the prayer of faith that releases the power of God. Faith in what? Faith in His name. Whose name? Jesus' name. I submit to you there's healing in the name of Jesus, isn't there? Amen? Do you know His name means healer? It means Savior, and therefore it means Savior from all these things. It means Savior from sin, Savior from sickness, Deliverer, Preserver. All these things are found in the name of Jesus. And so it says, as we see here, the anointing with oil and the prayer of faith, the disciples practiced this. You can read this. Many people aren't aware of this. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 13, it talks about the disciples anointed with oil and prayed for people. Elders in the church are called to do this, as we've already mentioned and read verse 14. Now let's look at it from some other translations as we close this today. Next frame, NIV reads it this way in James 5, 14 and 15. Is any one of you sick? This is referring to Christians, believers. James says, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name. Everybody say the name. In the name of the Lord. Do you know the name, as we've already looked at the name in Acts chapter 3, the name refers to his authority. When you are speaking in the name of someone, you're speaking by their authority, aren't you? And so when we come against sickness and disease in the name of Jesus, we're coming against it by the authority of Jesus. And how many of you know that the authority of Jesus is still very powerful against sickness and disease today like it ever was? Isn't that right? He still has authority, doesn't he? And so he tells us that we here are to anoint with oil in the name or by the authority of Jesus and the prayer offered in faith. We'll make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. One last translation of this and then we're going to pray. In New Living Translation it reads, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So it's even basically saying here that if you have sin in your life, it's not going to stop you from being well. If you call for the elders and pray. Now you ought to repent, right? But you know what? Even when we pray and anoint you with oil, pray the prayer of faith. How many of you know you can get set free from the power of sin as well? Amen. And you know, really, now we're going to pray. Why don't you stand with me and the worship team if you'd come. Now you think about this, and we could go on and on. I mean, there could be a series for weeks and weeks and weeks pertaining to this idea of divine healing. And there will be a time when I'm sure the Lord will release us to do that. Maybe soon. I don't know. But I know it's been a while since I taught a series on healing. This was just to just give you a little booster shot. How many of you know sometimes you need a booster shot? Amen? And so just a little booster shot pertaining to this idea of healing, pertaining to the fact that it is the will of God, pertaining to the fact that sickness and disease is an enemy. It's our enemy and it's an enemy of God's. Did you know that? Sickness and disease is God's enemy, just like it is yours and my enemy, and we need to treat it as such. It is something that Jesus paid for in his blood being shed, in his body being broken. Not only did he pay the price, and really going back to Isaiah 53, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. How many of you know that takes care of the sin issue, right? Amen? He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. How many of you know that takes care of the soulish realm? Thank God for the peace with God and the peace of God, right? Amen. And with his stripes we are healed. That takes care of the body. And so transgressions are forgiven. Chastisement of the peace, our peace of mind, peace with God is available. And then by his stripes we're healed. He took care of the whole man, didn't he? Amen. He took care of the whole man. And so, as they're singing and just leading us in worship, if you would like to be anointed with oil and have the prayer of faith prayed for you, I know it says let them call for the elders, but I'm, as an elder, calling you that if you'd like prayer, we will pray for you. It's the prayer of faith. It isn't even necessarily the sequence of things. It's the prayer of faith that saves or heals the sick. Amen? And so let's be believing. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is here right now. Did you know that? He is here. I started to say one way Jesus proved he had the power to forgive sin is by healing the paralytic one day. I think it's in Luke chapter 5. He said that you might know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, arise up and walk. And he did. He proved he had the power to forgive by healing the paralytic. Isn't that right? Amen. And he is here now. He's here in our midst. He said if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He is here by the Holy Spirit of God. And he's ever willing and ready to minister healing to everyone who comes in faith. Amen. He loves you and cares about you. And he wants you well. And so if that's you, you come. And let's all pray together. Amen.